My name is Sean. I'm 30. I am 46 years old. Today is
July the 2nd,
and I'm speaking. I'm supposed to be doing this. Are you finished? No. Okay.
Can you do a start over?
I'm doing a start over. So, my name is Sean. I am 46 years old. Today is July the 2nd, and I'm speaking with my partner, Barb Cox, who is my girlfriend slash co-worker, I guess.
Slash school friend.
School friend. And we are recording this interview in
Waterford.
Waterford, Michigan. What was the happiest moment of your life and the saddest?
I would say the happiest moment in my life was when I had my children. Nathan is now 22, and 16 months later, I had my daughter Elise. And the saddest moment, when my friend Autumn moved to Tennessee, we were so close, and when she moved to Tennessee, I literally cried myself to sleep. Mm-hmm. I cried in the shower. I went to work the next day. We worked together, and I looked like I was hit by a bus. Because she left. But she's back now. She came back home.
All right. That's a good thing. Were you afraid you were going to lose her? That you weren't going to ever see her again? That your paths were going to go in different directions?
I think so. She was going to get married. And I guess she was the one person in my life at the time who literally knew everything about me.
Is this is your childhood friend?
No, I worked with her, and we became very, very, very best of friends.
When did you meet her?
I want to say in 2002. Yeah, but she knew every deep, dark secret I ever had.
Oh, that is nice.
And I think I just was worried that we would drift, but we haven't. I mean, I text her today, and we pick up right where we left off. There's like no void.
I like that. Who has been the most kindest to you in your life?
Probably my mom, because she's always been there for me. Even though, you know, you go through your teenage years and you think you just can't stand that person, and she's horrible, and she's, you know. But at the end of the day, she's always been there for me.
Where'd you grow up?
In Waterford.
In Waterford. Have you
Where been? I still live.
Okay.
I haven't gone far.
And you said your mom was, where's your mom? She relocated.
Right. So now she's in Tennessee.
Okay.
But she's coming back home. All right, I can take care of her because she's 80.
Why did she move out of state?
That's a long question. The short version of that answer is we were moving. She lived with me and my husband and my kids. She lived with us. And she lived with us, and we were moving. And so she took the opportunity to go to Tennessee that she always wanted to do, but she never had a reason to go. And her sister was moving there. And with us moving, she found that was a good opportunity to go. So she did, but now she's 80. And it's not my aunt's job to take care of her when the time comes. It's my job. So she's coming home.
All right. Are you excited?
I am.
Okay.
I get my mama back.
You guys get along well?
We do now. Yeah, as long as we don't live together.
Because when we live together,
we drive each other crazy.
Well, what's going to happen when
she's going to have her own apartment.
Okay.
All right. And so she'll be here, but she won't live with me.
Okay.
And so it'll be okay.
Okay. All right. That's going to be a good chapter.
Mm-hmm.
If you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, what would that be? If you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, what would that be?
My children's laughter.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's so
their happy voice.
Yes, so innocent and pure. That's a good one.
It makes your heart happy, and knowing your children are happy is like the.
Is there anything that you've never told me, but you wanted to tell me now?
Oh, I'm sure there's a million things, because I'd tell you anything. I don't care.
Right.
But to be appropriate for this interview might be questionable.
Go ahead. Who's going to hear? Do you have anything?
Not at the moment.
Okay, that's all right.
When the opportunity is appropriate.
Okay. Okay. All right. What is your first memory of me?
Faculty practice. You at your desk, working away, and me doing my bottom feeder job.
That.
At the time. And we became friends.
All right. I like that. How would you describe me, and how would you describe yourself?
Okay, how would I describe Sean? She's funny. She cracks me up. She's a little bit of a hot mess, but she's got it together at the same time.
I've had a lot of people say that.
You are genuine.
Yes, I am very.
You're very genuine, and you're true, and I love you.
I love you too. I'm glad I got to meet you.
I know.
I need you to describe yourself.
Oh God, I don't know. I'm a hot mess too.
You're not. I can describe you.
Okay, you describe me.
I'm telling you, the first time we went to the bar. And you, after work, we decided to go grab a bite to eat. And you went ahead and said, I want a Diet Coke. And then you had something else in it, whatever liquor it was.
A Long Island.
Yes, okay. But you had to have
the Light Ice.
Right.
Extra sour with Diet Coke.
You got it. The lady looked at you like, what? I said, oh my God, Barb is high maintenance. But I love her. She knows what she wants.
I do. I know what I want. And why would I pay for something that isn't what I want? I'm paying top dollar for something. I better get it the way I want it.
Light ice.
Right?
How do you get light ice? Maybe not too much, but not too little.
I don't want a whole cup of ice and nothing to drink for $10.
I love you.
And then it already comes cold, and then you don't have anything to drink. And it dilutes it. If it gets warm, then it's diluted. So, like, what's the point? And it comes cold out of the tap.
You're warm-hearted, but you definitely know what you like. I love it. Okay, do you think that we'll ever lose touch with each other?
I don't think so. I think we'll be friends. I think, because, I mean, we don't talk all the time, but we always come back to each other.
Yes. I have to find out what's going on in your life.
Exactly.
No matter what.
I know.
So if
and I'll be like,
we go in different directions,
right.
I'll always have your number and your email, and I always want to know what's going on.
Exactly. You. Well, because, you know, sometimes I'll just pop up out of the blue, and I'll be like, hey, what's up?
I know you like your lunches. I get so
I always want you to come up and have lunch with me and share with me what's going on in your life. And but some people are just too busy.
Oh, come on.
We're at school.
I'm at the lunch hour doing homework.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. When did you first find out that
I'd be a parent?
Yeah. When did you first find out that you would be a parent? And how did you feel?
Well, I was very excited, but I thought I was going to have a lot of trouble getting pregnant because I had endometriosis. So even though I was only 24 at the time, which is young, and now I think back, and if my children dare to have children at 24, I'll lock them in a room. But my now ex-husband is 10 years older than me, and he didn't want to be old when he had children. So anyway, so I didn't have any trouble getting pregnant, and I actually had made an appointment to meet a new doctor because I didn't like where I was, and I wanted to like establish a, you know, rapport with this doctor before I would maybe be pregnant, and I found out that day I was pregnant.
How is being a parent changed you?
Well, it makes you realize that the world is not about you. Not that I thought it was, per se. Not that I thought it was, because I never thought it was. But at the same time, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you have to take care of somebody else, and their well-being is number one, and all their priorities are number one. And I mean, somewhere in there, you got to remember that you're important too. You know, you got to take care of yourself so you can take care of them. But
I think there's a bigger picture.
There's a bigger picture. Yeah.
Maybe you know, a legacy.
You're yeah. And you're creating this person, and your goal, I've always told my children, my goal in life for you is I just want you to be happy, healthy, and independent. And my biggest accomplishment of being a parent is your success. Whatever that means, that doesn't mean you make a lot of money or that you're rich or you're, but that's my biggest accomplishment as a parent is just knowing that your, whatever your version of success is, that you've gotten that and that you're happy and healthy and independent.
How would you describe yourself as a child, and were you happy?
I'm an only child, and how would I describe myself as a child? I was always had a level of insecurity, but I mean, it wasn't like debilitating or anything like that.
Why do you think that?
I always questioned my worth or, you know, if people liked me or, you know, if I was good enough, you know, even as a young child, I had this little boy that lived down the street. Well, he was like 9 months older than me, but he was always this tiny little thing. And so I think he had like a mental issue with the fact that like I was like taller than him and bigger than him, and like he had to belittle me to make himself feel adequate. And so, and I was not a fat kid, but I was what maybe you would call thick. Okay, I was a thicker kid. I was, you know, I wasn't fat, but I was thick. So anyway, he would call me cow and whale and all, and then he was the oldest of six. And he would get all his little brothers and sisters to, like, do all that to me, too. And so that is still, to this day, in my brain of why I'm the way I am about, like, my self-image. And then it's funny because a few years ago, I actually ran into him. Actually, I ran into his mom not just the other day over the weekend at Lowe's. But anyway, I ran into him.
How did you feel when you ran into her? How do you think about her?
Oh, she's very sweet. I always like felt like, how did you raise all these children? But
that kid was like that because of his parents?
No, I think he just felt inadequate because of his size, and so he was trying to make himself feel better. By, you know what I'm saying? And I was like the one other kid on the street. We like grew up together. And I mean, I remember in kindergarten we always sat in the front seat of the bus next to each other, like all through kindergarten. And but we were just friends, you know, but we always sat next to each other. But then
he teased you?
Well, he became that way, yeah.
Maybe
and
he
then,
liked you like that.
Well, you never know. Maybe he did. And so it's funny because I ran into him a few years back, and I'm like, hey, Steven, how are you? Or whatever, you know, chit-chat. And then I said, do you not remember when we were kids and you would always say this and that to me? And he's like, I did? I'm like, yeah. And whatever. And he's like, oh, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Did you get that closure?
I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I guess.
That's cute.
I know. So, and he's still a short little shit. So, oops, excuse me. Sorry, I just said that. But, you know, he's sweet, and he felt bad. But it's all good. But I still have self-image issues.
Don't say something. What kind of student were you?
Average. Very average.
And do you have any favorite stories from school? Or does that tie in with the little boy?
I did not love school. It was something I had to do. And what's hilarious is now I teach at U of T. So that's a pretty funny 360. But I can't think of a specific favorite story.
Well, this is I want to say if you don't have a favorite story or you don't have nothing specific, let's just dive into this. When and why did you decide to become a teacher?
Oh, that's so funny. Well, being a hygienist for 22 years, mm-hmm. and I love what I do, but I always I just always wanted to teach hygiene. I wanted to, I didn't want to be a teacher like, you know, you think of a teacher as far as, you know, like a high school teacher or something like that. I didn't ever want to do that, but yeah, I wanted to teach in clinic, and the opportunity arose, and it all just worked out in my favor, and here I am. I'm actually doing what I want to do. I've wanted to do it for a long, long time, and I didn't think I would ever be able to, and it just prevailed. Okay.
How would you like your students to remember you?
That I made a difference. That what I taught them really affected them in some way and helped them in their dental career, make them understand. You know, when you get a student who just, you know, it clicks and they get it and you see them evolve, that's my favorite.
That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most challenging and or funniest moments you've experienced teaching?
Challenging? I have a student who is just really struggling with everything, not just perio, but he's just struggling. It's been a real challenge. And sometimes you see a little pinhole of light, you know. But I don't know. I worry about his future. I really, truly worry about his future.
So are you care about all your students?
I do.
You think about all of them.
I do.
That's got to weigh on your mind at nighttime.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you genuinely care about them, and you learn about them and their lives outside of school, and, you know, you want them to succeed just like your children.
Do you choose whether they go on to the next level? I mean, do you have to make those decisions?
No.
Is there a board that makes those decisions? Mm. Or?
Yeah, that's way above me.
Well, you make recommendations?
Mm. I have, like, for that one particular student, there was a group of us. We all wrote letters because he had needed to go to a CPC meeting, or an APC meeting, I'm sorry, an APC meeting, because he was not doing well.
It's an APC meeting.
It's like a, where they go over your status and how well you're not doing. It's kind of, I don't know if I would call it an intervention, but they're trying to catch issues before they get too big. I mean, it's not like you're taking one class. I mean, dental school is a four-year deal, right? I mean, yes, you take individual classes, but so.
Did you ever have any students that said, I don't really want to be
mm-hmm.
a dental student? I mean, are you mm-hmm. teaching, but they're already in it?
Mm-hmm. And they're knee deep.
And what do you recommend?
Okay, so some of them are in it because that's what their parents decided they needed to do. Or they were expected to be a doctor of some sort. And maybe they felt that was like their easiest route to be a doctor, you know. I can't imagine putting that kind of pressure on my kids and dictating what they do for the rest of their life if it's not what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So some of them don't even like dental. They haven't even graduated yet. And now they're going to end up $500,000 in debt. And they're unhappy and they're not even graduated yet. So then I had another student who, he's now in a graduate program at U of D, but because he hated general dentistry, hated it. Before he ever even graduated. But he took that opportunity and found an avenue that he does like within dentistry.
So you can.
And now he is happy. He does like it.
Okay.
Because he likes the specialty. So.
Is it in dentistry itself or is he doing something outside?
Orthodontics.
Okay.
He's in the ortho grad clinic. So. But he did not like general at all. He did not like.
He found his niche.
Yes, he had to find his niche. Mm-hmm. And he knew from the get-go he did not want to be a general. But he had to find something within it that did fit him. And he did.
Okay, now we're going to talk about.
You can do this one.
Marriage and partnerships. And what advice do you have for young couples? Because you see a lot of those kids in,
mm-hmm.
in school and working and going to school and balancing.
Okay. Good. So, I guess my advice would be that to make sure that your partner is your best friend and that you truly understand each other, and that you know how to work together as a team. I didn't have that in my marriage. My marriage was a dictatorship, and that was a huge, huge issue, hence the ex-husband. So who you marry needs to be your person. Somebody that you, when you think about them, you cannot imagine not having them in your life. Like, you just cannot fathom the idea of losing them. And if you can't truly be yourself, who you truly are, and tell them absolutely positively anything without judgment, then you need to rethink it. Because if you're going to be married for 100 years, you know, give or take a few, you have to be able to communicate.
I think communication is obviously the key.
Absolutely. With all the trials and tribulations in life. And you have to have passion, because if you... Okay, you can be best friends, and that's great, but you need to have that passion for somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe there you need to know that aspect is, and I'm not saying lust, and I'm not just, you know, I mean, but I mean, you, just true passion for somebody, that they take your breath away.
Okay, is that what you define passion as, taking a breath away?
I guess that's a way to describe it. But somebody you can't imagine being without, somebody that you just, they absolutely give you that sparkle in your eye. And maybe I want rainbows and unicorns at this point in my life. That's what I'm told, which is not really true.
Uh-huh.
I'm very realistic, but you have to have that, or...
Okay.
I just don't think it's... Marriage is a hard enough struggle, and if you can't... Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. Have you experienced any miracles?
Miracles?
Yeah, well, you talked about unicorns and rainbows, so I'm going to jump right into the miracle. No, like, do you believe in God, and have you experienced any of them type of miracles?
Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of funny about that whole, like, my daughter says that she's agnostic. And
what is agnostic?
It's where you believe that there's a higher being, but you don't necessarily specifically believe in God. You believe there's something, but it's like basically like you can't prove him per se, and you can't touch him. So it's like, how do you know that he is real? And I'm kind of on that page about the whole thing. Like, I want to believe, and I want, but at the same time, I'm not totally sure.
Okay. All right. And where was your mom's family from?
Jackson. Well, okay, so my extended family, when you talk about, like, my grandparents, when you say my mom's family, I mean, like, my grandparents were from Jackson, and they're all, their family was from Jackson, even though, my mom grew up in Union Lake, which is now considered Waterford, which is where I grew up, but the extended family was all in Jackson.
Have you ever ate at the All-Star Dairy?
Is that in Jackson?
Yep.
No. Have you ever been to the Cascades?
Yes.
We
stopped at the All-Star Dairy.
Oh, okay. We used to always go to one of the Coney's, because their Coney's are different there. They're different than what we think of as a Coney. And, yeah, we would always go get Coney's. But my grandmother lived, she could see the Cascades back in the day. She from her bedroom window or from her house kind of thing, and she could see the Cascades. She grew up right there. So, and I still have family that lives there. I mean, a lot of them still live out there.
Do you ever go visit?
No, my mom does. My mom will go visit people, but I don't anymore because, I don't know, my mom always goes when she comes to see me and I'm at work or whatever, and she'll go take a couple days and go stay with a cousin or an aunt and to kind of keep her occupied while I'm at work, and then she comes home, and so I never go.
Okay. Well, I guess this is going to conclude our interview. Found out a lot of good things about you. Is there anything that you want to add? Anything that you might give some advice?
A life lesson?
Yes.
Whatever happiness means to you, find your happy. Whatever that means to you. I lived a long time without being happy. So now that's my goal.
Always be happy.
Just find your happiness, whatever that is in your life, whether it be in a, you know, with a certain person, your job, your children, activities, whatever it is that brings you joy.
I like that. Okay.
Wait, so did we need to say anything else to make it concluded?
No.
Okay, fine.
You will be able to resume this interview.